Hello, and welcome to the Philosophical Angle Podcast with your host, author Chris Angle.
Hi, this is the Philosophical Angle Program, and I'm your host, Chris Angle. I'm the author of four books in philosophy, one of which is The Nature of Aesthetics. And these books are available free for viewing at thephilosophicalangle.com. If you'd like to contact us and make comment, give us a shout on an email at contact@thephilosophicalangle.com. Or better yet, hit that like button if you like it and subscribe. The purpose of the Philosophical Angle is to examine the nature of concepts and ideas in media. And although this week's topic is not particularly germane to what's happening in the news presently, it is historically something very interesting. And that is the nature of war and why war happens. So let's go into this. So in order for us to really understand what is the cause of war, I think we need to understand what is the nature of peace. So that which interdicts peace is going to be that which causes war. So let's find out what peace is, and then we'll proceed from there. So first, the definition and essence of peace is composed of one dictum and six corollaries. And the first dictum of peace is that life seeks continuously that which is good for it, and it can seeks it never-ending. In an never-ending fashion, there's always a desire for more of goodness for one's self. And corollary one of that is that freedom is essential to seeking goodness. And the nature of freedom is that freedom is the construction of priorities and then the effectuation of those priorities. And when I say priority, it means that which is important to you. So construction of priorities is an example of if you being you wanting a new car. So you're going to figure out how to get a new car. You get up in the morning and you're hungry. So you try, and that's a priority. And so you try to figure out how am I going to satisfy that priority. And so the effectuation of that priority, in other words, the satisfaction of the priority of breakfast, is an example of the nature of freedom. You want to you have a priority, and you want to satisfy that priority. So the effectuation of a priority is our sacrifice that we make in order to receive a reward. So just as we had an example just now, the effectuation of a priority is our desire to get that car or to obtain breakfast. And our sacrifice is the effort and all that we put into it in order to get that reward. And corollary two is an equation we're going to make of that, which is a sacrifice equals reward. And so we sacrifice our time, for example, in getting our breakfast. We sacrifice our time to get it together. We sacrifice the effort that we get to get it together. We get the materials of the breakfast together. And we use our information and knowledge of how to put all that together to make the breakfast. And we do it within an atmosphere of risk. Everything we do has some risk associated with it. And we do all this to achieve the reward, which is the breakfast. Or we do all this to go out and work and get and spend our time and effort to get some money to be able to buy a new car, which is the reward. So everything we do is a sacrifice versus a reward. And we can make an equation of this. We can make a risk, information, knowledge, time, effort, and material equals the reward. And if it's a service, we can just eliminate that material, the M part there of the equation. So once freedom is established, that is, once the priorities are established, then motivation appears. And the motivation is, which is corollary three, Motivation is the relationship between the sacrifice and the reward. So how much sacrifice relative to the reward is your motivation? So if it's very little time and effort to put breakfast together, yet the reward is to satisfy the pangs of hunger, we go ahead and do it because the reward is great and the sacrifice isn't so severe. So we're highly motivated to go out and get that breakfast. And one way to receive a reward efficiently is to sometimes join up with others in a cooperative manner to achieve reward. And so often manufacturing and companies and or even in just making that breakfast, maybe you and your significant other get together and make that breakfast. But in any cases, there's a cooperative manner in which we get together with others to, especially in making a company, to be able to manufacture something along of a service or a product. And companies are typically gather together people in a cooperative venture, and yet all the people sacrifice their time and their effort, and they use their knowledge and information in order to put it all together and obtain reward. And the reward is that product or service that the company is producing. So cooperative behavior is the sacrifice of two or more more persons to obtain a reward. And they sacrifice their collective knowledge, time, effort amidst an environment of risk to obtain a reward. And all of these people all together cumulatively will be sacrificing their time, effort, and knowledge, and sometimes their material in an atmosphere of risk to produce the goods and services of the company. So cooperative behavior is two or more entities adding together what we've been talking about and their time, effort, knowledge, and risk to obtain reward. And we make these sacrifices to get a common reward because the participants perceive that reward has goodness and thus fulfilling the dictum 1 and corollary 2 of the sacrifice equals the reward. And cooperative individuals, this is corollary 4, cooperative individuals' behavior are the sacrifices that we make in order to achieve a reward for each participant. And each participant has the added knowledge that each participant will have greater efficient goodness together than if alone. So companies get together in order to produce those goods and services because they know that one individual can't do everything efficiently. But they know that cooperative behavior produces more efficiency in producing our desired result of services and products. And in order to produce cooperative behavior, which is the effort of our sacrifice and the knowledge that working together with others will result in the greater ability to produce the goods and services, which is good and which allows us to live better, we consider others with whom we cooperate important in our lives. And thus, we make instruments of cooperation. And examples of that are all the agreements and covenants and contracts that go into making a company and cooperating with others. However, there are here are some examples of agreements, individuals with their individuals. That is, for example, you and your family often have agreements together, and individuals within companies have employment agreements, and companies with other companies get together to have agreements, and society with government also has an agreement. That's called the Constitution, and all the laws and regulations that go into that agreement between society and government. And there is a byproduct of societal freedom, which is corollary one, and that is the convergence of priorities. That is, others may come to have the same priorities, which is the nature of competition. And so competition emerges through the convergence of priorities. And so that often happens when you're in society. Others have the same priorities as you do. And inside the society of the United States, we often have companies that compete with each other because competition is that they have the same converging priorities. That is, for example, there are many car companies and they're all producing cars and they're after the same buyers of cars. And so they compete in bringing forth their products to the marketplace. And competition happens, and it happens naturally. And it happens naturally from two factors. First, from the existence of freedom, that is, we got a freedom to make our priority, which is, say, we want to put together a car for the car market. And it also comes from St. Augustine's principle of libido dominandi, and the lust for dominion, the lust to dominate. And this is pretty much known from anthropological studies. St. Augustine pointed out. And so why it's important in competition is that which produces the converging priorities, it initiates the potential for war, because economic competition is essentially economic war, and companies attempt to avoid war by diversifying their products, which is per the law of differentiation. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And for example, countries will conform to the law of differentiation through the use of treaties. In other words, when you have competition, it's a natural byproduct that companies or anybody or in societies will diversify. Companies do it by, let's say, you have the car products. They'll diversify by making expensive cars or cheap cars or luxury cars or sports cars, and they diversify so that their product is not exactly the same as another company, and so they diversify. And the reason for the nature of competition is not only that we have convergence of priorities, but the reason why the libido dominandi is important is that when one entity sees that another has the same priority, it naturally thinks he can dominate the other because he attempts to do that, and thus comes into the same marketplace. But of course, when you get into the same marketplace, as we see down here, the law of differentiation takes place, and it's easier to compete if you diversify away from what everybody else is doing, and you put out which you are good at, which is, of course, your priority. And so the reason why we have included this principle into the nature of peace is because competition is the convergence of priorities, and converging priorities are inimical to the health of the life entity. As we just discussed, all companies, individuals, societies know that direct competition can take away from available resources. In the economic arena, it makes it harder to get customers. And so competition, which is produced by converging priorities, initiates the potential for war. Economic competition is essentially economic war, and companies attempt to avoid this war by diversifying their products, as we just mentioned, as per the law of differentiation. And competition exists because of human nature. As we also just discussed, there is this will to compete, which came about from our predecessors when they came out of the trees in, many millions of years ago, due to the drying up of the environment, and landed themselves on the plains of Africa, and suddenly they had to live and travel in groups without trees, and they had to go around in packs, and the ascendancy of one individual to lead the pack became a natural evolutionary principle. And so often that which those species that travel in packs have one dominant individual. And St. Augustine noted this proclivity not only of others but in the human species, and he deemed it the principle of libido dominandi. So now we have corollary five, and that's competition, which we just talked about, and that's and we also talked about the law of differentiation, the divergence from the market priorities fulfilling new demand to deliver new goodness. And and so now we can summarize this. And so in the following. So peace equals the pursuance of dictum one, which was that all life seeks that which is good for it. And dictum one is composed of the six corollaries. The freedom, corollary one. Sacrifice equals reward, corollary two. Motivation, which is the comparison of the sacrifice to the reward. And then cooperation, and then competition, and the law of differentiation. And so, interdiction of any of these, of the seeking of that which is good for it, and these constituent corollaries, will cause the potential for war to emerge. And let's go over that a little bit. Let's go and see. One, you've got the interdiction of freedom. And possible causes for the interdiction of freedom are anti-knowledge. For example, the rules and regulations or heavy taxation, these realization that you have to give up part of your priority to another entity, such as the government or whoever. So the interdiction of freedom is one of the causes of war, and we've seen that, of course, heavy taxation. If you're taxed too much, look what happened to the French Revolution, the American Revolution. It's a significant problem, and heavy rules and regulations are a precursor to the possibility of war or a revolution. And for corollary two, the interdiction of our sacrifices to obtain our rewards, and these are such as heavy taxation, corollary three, the interdiction of our motivation to achieve the receiving of rewards. So if we have motivation to do something, and something comes along and says, nope, you cannot fulfill your motivation. Although you're motivated, you cannot do it. This causes a great deal of a problem in society if this should be prevalent throughout society. And the interdiction of destruction and absence of cooperative contracts, agreements, and covenants. This is an example of when agreements and contracts are non-existent, or where they have been broken, cooperation is no longer possible. When cooperation disappears, then respect also vanishes, and so does ethics. All that is left, if you have no ethics, all that is left is that the ends justifies the means rationality. And this is probably the number one reason throughout history of war. When there's an absence of contracts between countries, combine that with a motivation to have what that other country has, is probably the number one cause of all war. Add in the situation of high motivation of a sacrifice versus a great reward, and the result is a high propensity for war. Look what happened in World War II. This is a good cause of it. Hitler probably invaded Eastern Europe, Czechoslovakia, and Poland, because he was Germany was highly burdened with reparations from the First World War, and he looked to lighten the burden by going in and getting more property from others to be able to pay it off and bring Germany back to the to its place in society. Competition. Convergence of priorities creates an ongoing basis for economic war constantly and in massive extreme situations, political war. The differentiation and interdiction of the law of differentiation will also cause a prospect for war to appear. And thus, to summarize, when cooperation is destroyed with its attendant instruments, for example, the contracts, agreements, and not a possibility in the pursuance of dictum one, which is to pursue that which is good for it, the only and only the physicality and competition and divergence and the principle of libido dominandi remain, then war can be expected. And if we go about and we look at all the causes of throughout history, you can find that in each case, the presence of war is here in this summary. Thanks for joining me on this discussion of war, and come back again and see us. If you like this video, be sure to hit the like button and subscribe.
Thank you for joining us on the Philosophical Angle podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join us for the next installment.